Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 230, episode 1 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist,
the production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Monday, March 28th, 2022, which of course means it is National Something on a Stick Day.
Yep. No, see, my dog likes that.
Sounds like a Midwestern person saying shit on a stick or something. Like, that it sounds like a cleaned up version, you know. So it's a bit of a something on a stick situation.
Right. I think this is more of a, like, maybe hot dog on a stick, corn dogs celebrating things on a stick, I think.
Lollipops,
I
mean, that's all these things. Popsicles,
yeah, kebabs, you know. Okay. Yakitori for all my Japanese people out there, you know what I mean.
Hey,
we got it all.
I every day for me is National Something on a Stick Appreciation Day, but it's great to have a time that we can stop, drop what we're doing, take a day off work, and just think about things on a stick. It's also National Weed Appreciation Day.
Yep, but not the one I'm thinking of, so we can...
Oh, it's appreciation of weeds, like in
the
your
weeds
garden?
That, yes, and we can eat them, and they can be used, and they're not just... And I'm like, okay, sure.
They knew what they were doing when they titled that, though.
Yeah. But come on. 328? That doesn't roll off the tongue. Like a weed day. Yo, it's 328. Fucking go grab a pack of fucking backwoods. Let's go.
All right. Well, happy Weed Appreciation Day.
Yeah.
But not the one you were thinking of. To you, Miles. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Don't Listen to Basketball Podcast, less it's Mad Boosties, hosted by Jack and Miles. We know that you wanna know which coach still drinks suicides and talk them huge early odd suits. That's courtesy of Christian Gucci Mane, collabo with Billy G.
Billy G on the logo.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you'll see that soon enough.
Shout out to our forthcoming, you know, possibly, we don't know when it's coming out quite yet, but it should be in the next couple weeks.
Yeah,
NBA podcast. Miles and Jack got Mad Boosties. That means we can jump high. I'm just putting it out there.
Why would the NBA agree to do a show that's called that unless they said, well, we can obviously, we've verified the veracity of this.
Yeah. Point. Yeah. That guy looks like he can get net still and once got rim in high school. So yeah, shout out to Christy Yamaguchi, man. Also giving us a marketing strategy that I like, which is not just promoting our show, but letting people know that they're not allowed to listen to other basketball podcasts. They right. all suck.
Be loyal.
Be loyal, okay?
All right. Well, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
When I walk up in the club, all eyes on me. I'm with the Zeit Gang crew, Tahitian Noni. We like yogurt, cover raisins. We came to Zeit Rock. Everybody is on. Acidophilus, acidophilus, acidophilus. Everybody! Okay, whoa. That was my Lil Jon. Had to go into my Lil Jon bag right there. Shout out to Nicole Adrienne. I really francophoned that one on the Discord because, yeah, we take shots of acidophilus around here. We like to check our gut health. You know what I mean? So, and also, what's it called? LMFAO, right? That's who did that one.
Oh, with Lil Jon. Okay.
It's weird because that the flow of those lyrics sound the same in my mind rhythmically. They're the same as Sexy and You Know It. When I walk in the club, all eyes on me. I'm in the Zeit Gang crew. Tahitian no need. The cadence is very similar, and I don't know LMFAO songs too much, so I was really struggling with that one. Anyway.
I thought it was great. I could hear the beat. Thumping. Thank you from my days. It brought me back to my. It was actually so good that it brought me back to my days at the club. And it was uncomfortable. Those were dark times.
What were you doing at the club?
Oh man, what wasn't I doing at the club?
Jack, we got to go to the club, man.
Yeah.
Should we just do that just to shock ourselves, just to get back in like the Zeit, like just to see what the culture's about? We go to Vegas for one weekend, stone cold sober, just with pen and pad. And just taking notes the whole time. Be like, and this
doing
is what
like
happened.
Crime room sketch artist work on people.
Like in the back. They're like,
Like I occasionally, very rarely will like go to a party or, you know, be at a, you know, club like event. Mm-hmm. And the culture doesn't evolve as much as I don't know. I guess it depends on what kind of clubs you're at.
It's just the flex material evolves.
Right.
You know,
right.
I was partying pre-sparkler era. You know what I mean? Like, if you usually just like, yo, we got to get a bottle because we got to sit down. And then now it's like, you got to get a bottle because it's a pyrotechnic show and they will waste champagne out of like a cannon. And that's the part, I think that's where it's sort of leveling up. But anyway,
too old. I only know about the sprinkler or the sparklers because I think John Wick kills somebody with a bottle of champagne with a sparkler in it. And I am old as fuck.
And then you're like, see, I don't need to go to the club. I just saw that John Wick
scene. I get it. Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious stand-up comedian, actor, and writer who has a very funny stand-up album that just dropped. Welcome back to the show, Irene Toombs!
Irene!
What's up? I can't do a fun song or a rap. I didn't know that that's what you guys were doing.
I know.
No, it's we okay. just do it to, you know, humiliate ourselves before the guests so that you know that we are ridiculous human beings.
It was impressive.
You don't have to.
Just to put the bar on the ground so then everyone knows. That's where it's at.
Hey.
See, this would be a fun show. We started off with that. So we're only going up.
We were just talking last time you were on, seems like a long time ago to the point that I didn't even remember. But the... You know, we don't always talk about like what people talked about last time, but last time you were on was Dogface 420, taking the world by storm with that dream skating video.
Yeah, the cranberry juice.
Yeah.
What a time. You could have told me that was 4 years ago.
It felt like it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
2020.
When I see it referenced now, I'm like, that thing from 2008?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like in my mind.
Yeah. But anyways, doing this podcast is great because it gives you a little preview of what it's going to be like, or it gives me a little preview of what it's going to be like for me to have dementia, because it's all just dropped into a pool of thousands of hours of podcasting. But time is indeed a flat circle. How have you been since we last spoke?
Good. I mean, that was, I think, peak pandemic, and then just... started doing stand-up again once that opened up, and then I recorded this album, and now it's out, and I don't know what to do next. So
yeah.
Wait, when and where did you record the album?
I recorded it November 2021 at the Punchline in San Francisco.
Oh yeah,
that's called place. We're Done Now.
Yeah, We're Done Now.
Yeah, so go check it out.
Yeah, super funny. We're just talking about some of the bits I was listening to. I was really enjoying it.
Thank you.
And we don't do the thing where we just queue up a bit from you and we're like, you were saying to us before we started recording the something about sex.
Something about boring sex.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We got to talk about Jenny Thomas, that shit that dropped at the end of last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's just full-blown Q-brained and
boomer lady.
Yeah. And has at least, you know, it would seem influenced one decision by the Supreme Court, which was whether to release these documents that we're now getting to read. So I don't know. But there was a lot of talk as Trump was trying to overthrow the election that, like, but the Supreme Court's there. And even though they're a bunch of conservatives, they're still, you know, they still got it. The Supreme Court, they're going to hold it down. And man, it's wild to read. So we'll get into that. What the wildness is. We're going to talk about Madison Cawthorn and the Colonel Sanders biopic that is coming our way eventually. All of that. Plenty more. But first, Irene, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
I Googled French Laundry.
Mm, the restaurant.
The restaurant, yes. Thomas I don't Google, like, you know, when you do questions where, like, what is like the height of a bird or something? I don't do that. I just type in
height of a bird.
I don't. You know how people ask like questions like that?
Right.
Or like, who is this person? I just type in the thing and I assume
it knows enough.
It knows what I want. So I just typed in French Laundry. I was trying to go.
You a bit of a foodie?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a foodie.
Okay, yeah.
And it's also my birthday next month, so I want to eat.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to go to French Laundry, but yeah, I don't think it's going to happen unless somebody can get me in.
Okay, look, Zeitgang, restaurateur Zeitgang. Where is it, in Yountville? How do you say that place?
Yeah, I think it's like Yountville, yeah.
Yountville, okay.
I thought it was in San Francisco.
No, it's like in like Napa Valley area.
Yeah, it's just outside. That's what, remember, that's where Gavin went during the pandemic.
Napa. Oh, yeah. You simply must go to Napa for a weekend.
You truly must. I mean, the similarities between there and Tuscany are actually, you don't know where you are sometimes. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it is where Gavin Newsom got in trouble.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So like, you're out here eating at one of the best restaurants in the state.
But that's how you know it's got to be good. Like, yeah, he almost lost his job over this meal. So I'm like, I gotta go.
Right. Yeah. What is it about food that you enjoy? I love food as well. So
what is it about food?
Because some people love the presentation. They like to go out to eat. There's just like certain things. But what is, aside from the nourishment?
Yeah, I'm a food on a stick man myself. But yeah.
Presentation's cool, but for me it's all about the taste and the texture.
Right.
Yeah. I want to taste the original ingredients.
Oh.
You know?
Wow.
Like, I want like a nice cut of steak. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I don't need you to slab it with crazy spices and sauces. Right. I want like what it actually is.
Right. Oh, okay. So it's about really the quality of the ingredients shining through the dishes. Okay. Mm. Yeah. For me, it's just having a bite and you go, oh my God. And that happens.
Miles just fell out
ways.
A little bit.
Yeah. I just, that's the dragon I chase when I go to eat, is just those bites you have and you're like, they've done it.
Yeah. If I want to like order another of the thing that I ate, that's how you know. Did you watch that SpongeBob episode where SpongeBob has a Krabby Patty? Oh, no. The King Poseidon or whatever. I can't remember what his name is, but he has like a Krabby Patty for the first time and it's so good. He needs to eat it again. So he spits it out and like eats it again.
That's great.
I would. Yeah. I might try some shit like that.
Yeah.
So, but something about like the understanding of, oh, these are the ingredients. That is what that thing tastes like. Because like, if it's just taste and texture, I'm good with Taco Bell, but part of the charm of Taco Bell is the complete absence of any sense that this has come from like any natural ingredient ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a wonder of science.
That's interesting to me that you like to be able to like have a sense. I mean, it's not, I feel like a lot of people are like that. I guess it's just something I lack.
Mm.
By the way, the average height of a robin bird, 14 centimeters, in case anyone was curious like I was after you said that. And I did not Google it as a question. I just said height of bird. Height
See,
of bird.
That's what I do. I'm like, I never do the questions, but people love to type it in like as if you're asking a person.
Google has no option. You're not asking Google whether they would like to answer that question for you. You just say, Google, do your job. Height
Give
of
me
bird.
This information. Bring it.
All right. Well, Zeitgang, we need a French Laundry reservation stat. Reach out to Irene. Irene, what's your social media handle?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Irene_2. That's T-U. And send me that French Laundry reservation.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Or something comparable. You know, you never know. Someone might come through with something. They're like, you like
You're
Michonne?
Like, actually, this
up
is
the street?
That's true. I'm good. Open. It doesn't have to be French Laundry.
Yeah.
Bouchon's fine. You know what I mean? We're not going to be picky.
For sure.
I'll eat that chicken liver mousse. You know what I mean?
All right. What is something you think is overrated?
Ooh, something I think is overrated is Impossible Burgers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now,
didn't mean to make this all about food, but I guess it's just on my mind.
I love it.
You've expressed your meat eating affinity twice now.
Yeah.
So you're out on Impossible Burgers in particular.
Hey, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying the hype is too much.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. They're like, it's just like a regular burger. It bleeds, you know? And I'm like, no, that's
beet
not
juice.
It. Yeah, that's not it.
That's not real blood. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm looking for. There is like the, when I pan fry it with a lot of salt and I treat it like just a grimy burger, that's like the best iteration I've had of it. Or at that restaurant Crossroads in LA, they do these like
Miles is a high school.
This is the place that Travis
Are
Bark-
you going
Travis
there
Barker's
to eat?
Vegan spot on Melrose.
They
have these like meat cigars that they call them, really interesting name. But it's really like a fried like spring roll almost, like sort of like in a sort of light filo-ish kind of wrapping that's fried, and the filling in that with Impossible, I damn near thought it was meat. So, you know, at times it can be tricky. But if you're a beef patty purist, then I don't think really anything.
It's just the texture's off, you know.
I agree that if I'm coming from like meat eating meat to that, and people are like, "This is just as good," it's overrated. The times that I understand the hype is when I eat what used to pass for a veggie burger and then have one of those. It's like that leap. It definitely is a leap in terms of, unless, I don't know. So some people like the like dried out husk of
vegetables. That's really what it is.
Yeah. And like dried black beans. Yeah. All right. By the way, meat cigar. Is that what it's?
That's what it was called. Because I remember even looking on the menu, I'm like, this is the best y'all could do with this?
That is.
Yeah, that's weird.
Unacceptable.
That has to be like some weird, like fucking weird euphemistic term. Like,
yeah, like that smoking sounds on a like meat a cigar? Virgin talking about a penis. Like, that's.
Right.
Yeah.
They may have changed it. I don't know. And maybe I just made it up in my mind and I'm like, what are these meat cigars? But I'm pretty sure it was the name.
Came from your virgin mind.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
What's something you think is underrated?
People who are not on social media. I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
What?
You have friends
that
like that?
Be.
Not many.
I have one friend who knows nothing of Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.
I'm so jealous.
He just walks his dog. Does
is it Truman
thing.
From the Truman Show? How do they know?
No,
about
my boy
it?
Jono. He's like one of these people who absolutely just never enticed him. Even like when Facebook was out, like, I don't know. I don't really want to hook up a camera to a computer to upload an image of myself to post as my profile.
Does he even have a computer?
Yeah, he's got a computer. He got an old ass iMac from 2010.
Damn.
He's just one of these like, I don't know, simpler people. But I'm jealous of him because he knows nothing of like the ills of social media, truly.
Mm. Yeah, it like never makes me feel better.
Right. I'm trying to think what, like, that's not a thing that would get in the way of your ability to function, like, really at all, right?
Like, right. It's tough because, like, you know, we're like in entertainment, so it's hard to, like, get the word out if you're not posting
that's
about
one
it.
Thing. Right.
Right.
It's like guaranteed eyeballs on something when you can tweet something or whatever. But
even if it's just your own eyeballs.
Yeah. Just like, I guess I am doing that show tonight.
Yeah. So producer Trisha dropped all her social media, said it was a great decision. So
good
yeah.
for you. Good for you.
I'm
emotionally
impressed.
Healthy person that we work with.
There was a like time in the early aughts where it was cool to be like, I don't watch TV. And I feel like that time has passed, but maybe this is the new I don't watch TV or I don't even own a TV. Is like, I don't have Twitter. What?
Right.
Yeah, I feel like right now it's just really popular to be like on TikTok or like TikTok famous. Like that's the thing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's going to come back around where it's like, no, I don't have any of that.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Oh, please, please come. Please make it soon.
So I feel like a veritable Jono when it comes to TikTok. I'm just on the outside, walking my dog, hearing every once in a while when I pass an open window, somebody, producer Becca, talking about what's happening on TikTok. But for the most part, it feels, I have similar thoughts on TikTok and video games that like they're getting so good at this that I the time that I spent on it, like, you know, 45 minutes went by too quickly. And I was like, oh, that's not good. I feel like I'm Adam Sandler in Click here. Like that was just, I could turn around in 10 years and just have a beard and a like thousands of hours of TikTok to show for it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's my fear. It's just like, I'm like, oh, wow, what did I do with my life? Just wasted it staring at my phone.
Right.
Yeah.
I've become best friends with the videos on TikTok. It's like, hey, scrolling for like 3 hours straight. You want to knock it off, maybe? Talk to your family? And I'm like shut up. Keep the videos coming.
This is the most caring thing anyone's ever said to me.
That's the person who cares about me most, is that dynamically inserted algorithmic video that says, hey, you're using the app too long.
But like, for me, I don't feel like the only references I miss, I think there's maybe a computerized like voice that does like voiceovers or some shit on TikTok. And like, people make fun of that. And I'm like, all right, like, I don't get that. But for the most part, like, I don't feel like I'm missing that much shit.
I feel like that's funny that's the one thing that you...
That's
like,
the
oh,
only
reference.
TikTok
on this
aesthetic.
Voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, the people are all just feel... I don't know.
They're like, just, like, dancing and stuff.
Yeah, it's just an ocean of, like, different, undifferentiated faces of young people who dance. And I don't know. That is not something that I would be talking about anyways. You know?
Oh, Jack, man, I gotta come over. I'll throw my TikTok up on your TV and I'll show you what the algorithm's giving me. That's some it thinks I'm a basketball, like, loving, narco-obsessed, like, chef. Like, I get
it
dancing.
Thinks you're those things?
Well, because it starts feeding you stuff based on like kind of videos you watch more of, and it
I'm
thinks like
those,
I'm
that's not
Spanish
that
speaking.
Inaccurate.
I'm a Spanish speaking person obsessed with narcotics trafficking videos, dancing, food, and you know the random thing here and there. But I like the things you're like. It's the aesthetic that you're realizing. You're like, that's what's different. You're like, why does everybody use this robot woman voice to narrate their videos?
Yeah,
it's that one or like the one with the accent. That I see too. It's like, this is what it looks like when you spend $5 at Costco on a Wednesday. Like, that's another automated voice.
I haven't seen that one actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only thing I've heard that made me vaguely curious. Be like, huh, they've got a new computerized voice,
robot voice,
voiceover
huh?
thing. Cool. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Zeit gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point of sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and Jenny Thomas is, yeah, just very, very disturbing, very disturbed.
Yeah.
This is Justice Clarence Thomas's wife, and, she has some very controversial things to say about the 2020 election.
Very nice and controversial things.
Some very Q-brained, left the planet. Like long before we even realized to say.
She said, my home planet needs me, and dissolved into the air about 5 years ago. But yeah, she's been all over the news. You know, like initially a lot of it was like, yo, she's a super active activist on like the far right. She has a lot of ties to the organizing of the January 6th rally. And people are like, ooh, that's a terrible fucking look. And then last time we talked about her, we were talking about this puff piece that she was in this conservative outlet where she was sort of like framing her involvement in all of this like insurrection shit as like, I was just a concerned American, you know? And honestly, when it started popping off, I like wasn't feeling great. So I left. So I didn't get to like bash the Capitol Police with a barricade and then steal something from Nancy Pelosi's office. I left at that point. And all of this information probably should have been enough for Clarence Thomas to recuse himself from any Supreme Court decision involving January 6th. But
or just quit. I don't know.
Nah. It probably won't because, he was the lone dissenter in the 8-1 decision to not shield Trump's documents from the January 6th committee. So that means Amy Carmy Barnett, Brett Carbonara, and fucking Gorsuch, like all the Trump people, they were like, nah, this is... we're not that craven, but right. Fucking Clarence Thomas did. And It might not surprise you. Yeah, because we start seeing Washington Post has these texts, right, from Ginny Thomas to the chief of staff of Trump's White House, Mark Meadows, who's, by the way, under investigation for voter fraud because he said he was living in a like a trailer in North Carolina that he actually didn't. So that's on his plate also.
Oh, but just like straight up claimed to vote from a place like that kind of voter fraud?
Yeah, they're like, you live in Virginia. High level. No, yeah. And his wife filled out the thing, like filling out papers that say, this is a felony if you fill this out incorrectly or misrepresent where you live. And they're like, yeah, don't worry, I'm white, honey. Watch me do this shit.
Wow. And the one thing that they accuse us of, the chief of staff, right?
And like tax fraud.
Yeah, exactly. So these texts come out, right? And they're from, again, the wife of a Supreme Court justice to the chief of staff of the president. On the day after the election, she texted Meadows a fucking link to this YouTube video from this guy who's, you know, this guy named Steve Pachenik. And it says, the Trump sting with CIA director Steve Pachenik, the biggest election story in history, QFS blockchain. She tweets this to Mark Meadows and says, quote, I hope this is true. Never heard anything like this before or even a hint of it. Possible? Watermarked ballots in over 12 states have been part of a huge Trump and military white hat sting operation in 12 key battleground states.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Now, we've talked about this. We talked about this in the lead up to the election, right after the election, because this is the thing people were saying is that Trump was actually working with the military to have these like watermarked ballots. So it would be clear that the fraud ballots that the Democrats were trying to use would be easily identified and could be pulled and would prove once and for all who the real cheaters are. That never happened. That wasn't true. But
wait, that was a theory they had that Trump had done something or that the Democrats had like watermarked it with invisible ink.
Yes, that was.
Did it involve decoder rings as well? Like, because it definitely feels like some shit that my kids would be like making up as.
Yeah,
part
like
of their,
when you do the invisible ink.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Invisible ink, a paper fortune teller. And that's how you knew how to decode all of this stuff. And first of all, that video is from a guy who's on InfoWars with Alex Jones constantly, who says stuff like Sandy Hook and the Vegas mass shooting were false flags. And like, so that's the universe where his Ginny Thomas is like, check out this guy's video, huh? This could work, right? To overturn the election results we're seeing. So you could tell from the beginning, all of her energy was in the, this result isn't real. We have to do everything we can to stop it. Then, if that wasn't weird enough, she texted this a few days later. Quote, Biden crime family and ballot fraud co-conspirators, elected officials, bureaucrats, social media censorship mongers, fake stream media reporters, etc., are being arrested and detained for ballot fraud right now and over coming days and will be living in barges off Gitmo to face military tribunals for sedition.
She sent that to...
to Mark
the fucking
Meadows.
Chief of staff?
Yes. Yes. She
wouldn't
went,
he know that if that was happening?
The wild shit is, apparently they say the flow of the text is like, he didn't respond for like 10 days. She just kept being like, he was like, oh shit. Okay.
Did she hit him with the like question mark thing and then like the exclamation
mark thing?
Like, hey,
did you get this text?
Emphasize. Right. Oh, just like 9 passive aggressive. That's not even bad. That's aggressive as fuck at that point. Yeah. So she goes down this whole thing again. She's sending this to the chief of staff, trying to get be like, pay attention to this stuff. She even was saying like, you got to let the crack in lawyer, Sidney Powell, who we remember, who was like that woman who was clearly called back to her home planet as well, based on how she was speaking in public, was like, yeah, everything's a fraud. And, she lost nearly every decision that when she was submitting stuff to try and gum up the election results or tabulations, every time she was losing and then been sanctioned since because they're like, you did all of this in such bad faith. Like, there's no way you could ever call yourself a lawyer, but
yeah, every judge that she's gone in front of, like including the like just
Trump-appointed ones.
Yeah, the Trump-appointed ones who might as well have a Confederate flag like behind their, judge stand. Not bench, I think they're called.
You can't just pump fake evidence in
right.
a trial.
Yeah, like this is not like how reality works.
So she said this text she sends to Meadows says, quote, sounds like Sydney and her team are getting inundated with evidence of fraud. make a plan, release the Kraken, and save us from the left taking America down.
Boom.
Boom. So, it starts to make sense why Clarence Thomas may have been the lone dissenting vote there or voice in that decision. Because, yeah, it's stuff like this that would come out.
That is truly, it's wild. And at the same time, it is to be expected because, like, this is just what the right is in modern America. It's just completely detached from any version of reality that makes sense. Like 53 wrong turns later, you end up at the very beginning of like what the ideas their theory is based on.
But plus side, great husband.
Right? I mean, a sweetheart.
I mean, that would have caused some problems if he came home and she's like, oh, so you went 9-0? You went with all of them? Really, Clarence? Really, Claire? He's like, Claire. I'm sorry, babe. It's just, it's a bridge too far for me. Oh, you're sleeping on the couch. You're in the doghouse, Clarence. But yeah, it is one of those things, too. You see how, again, their aims are quite literally to involve all three branches of government in trying to overturn the election on some level.
Yeah. Like, I guess, you know, this seems like, okay, this is obviously a bridge too far. There will be pressure for him to step down. Maybe he steps down. Like, that is my pre, you know, 2016 thinking. Getting in the way.
He's done.
Like, yeah, this is just going to, like, if anything, I could see this being like, the left is like attacking, the woke mob's attacking Clarence Thomas, and like that this like causes the right to like double down on like making sure Clarence Thomas doesn't resign.
And you
which
know.
Was or at least there were rumors that he was considering it at one point.
Well, yeah, and let's not forget, he's, as of this recording, I believe we haven't heard anything about his condition since he went in the hospital.
So as of this recording, actually, this morning, which is days ago for our listeners, he was discharged from a Washington, D.C. hospital Friday morning, a week after he was admitted for what court spokesperson described as an infection. Yeah.
COVID-19 infection.
I'm going to tell a completely unrelated story to okay. this. When I was a kid and I got caught, I think it was like I forgot an important homework assignment, or like I fucked up in some way that like I knew I was in trouble with my mom, and I came home and I was like, oh, my stomach. Oh, damn. I'm real sick. Like, because she didn't know yet, and I knew it was going to come out. And then she was real worried about me. And then she was like, hey, I'm looking in your backpack. I'm like, that assignment that you are supposed to like be working on is not here. And I was like, oh damn, I think I forgot it. And she was like, is this why you're sick? And
I was like, that's hilarious. No. That I'm I mean, he saying, could be doing that.
I'm just saying, he knew this shit was about to drop.
He's like, I got an infection.
Boy. Uh-oh. My guts. Get me out of here.
I mean, there is, like, I didn't feel great when I was claiming to feel sick because I knew some shit was coming down on me. Right. Like, you know, there's a story the other day about the dude who that song Driver's License is about. Like, he was hospitalized, like, after that song, like, hit, and everyone was like, yo, fuck this dude. I mean, he's a child, but, like, he was hospitalized with, like, heart failure for, like, a week.
Wow.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he's like just feeling guilty, or like, you know, like the telltale heart kind of thing.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, I mean, you'd hope so, but yeah, we'll see where this goes. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, imagine if this was fucking Ketanji Brown Jackson's partner. You know what I mean? What would have happened? Or even Sotomayor, any of the liberal justices? You know, like what would have happened if this kind of shit came out? And granted, there were some things about Ginsburg's husband, for sure. But in this instance, like, you know, Fox News would have a fucking meltdown. And you're like, and then, like, it's funny when you watch on channels like MSNBC, people are like, well, you know, like, imagine what they would be doing right now. They would melt down if this was another justice. And it's like, well, this is pretty fucking big, too. But I think the problem is, not that it's a problem, is that what you're inevitably going to come up against is that the conservatives are going to say, oh, you're going after the one black conservative justice?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. That's what this is about. And you're like, hold on. You're not about to do that when we saw you put up, do that straight up racist circus with the confirmation hearings for, you know, Ketanji Brown Jackson. Let's stop this. But you know, that's where they're going. And I was reading a few places where they're trying to really make sure that, like, Clarence Thomas is almost like has that appeal or that like mythos like Ruth Bader Ginsburg did for, you know, Big D Democrats. Like they want people to feel like they're like, that's our guy. But
yeah, I mean, I just went to Fox News just to like triple check that they aren't covering this at all. And the top story is unearthed emails. I was like, what? Make alarming revelation. What? About CDC's COVID-19 school reopening guidance. So don't, nothing to see here.
Yeah.
That's funny though. They're like, you think those are some leaked documents? Well, hold on to your butts because we got one too. They are unclear in their wording around reopening.
Right. Scandal.
All right. Should we talk about Madison Cawthorn? Just keep the streak alive of just absolute madness.
Yeah. I mean, sure. All right. Madness abounds.
Madness luckily. Truly abounds.
Yeah.
So Madison Cawthorn is a turd, basically. What did he do this time?
Well, I mean, there's been so many things. I mean, the last like 6 months, it's been like recently what he got popped for driving with a revoked license, like again. Mm-hmm. You know, that like thing came out about his marriage where it like lasted for like only a few months and he was like introduced to her like a Russian casino, which many people were like, that's the shadiest thing I've ever heard of, that you met your like 6 month wife like a Russian at a Russian casino. What were you doing in Russia? And then
he was in Russia just traveling with the boys, met some dude at a Russian casino. That dude then set him up to come down to a competition. I think it was a CrossFit competition.
Yes.
That CrossFit ended up
competition.
A CrossFit competition, Irene, that ended up being fake.
What?
And so this is like, as he's telling, so he like got married a year ago. They're already getting divorced, but people were like, so like, tell us the story, like young love that really gets butts in the seat. And he was like, he couldn't tell it in a way that made any sense other than, oh, you were being set up by like a Russian like intelligence service of some sort. Yeah. They like this dude who he met at a Russian casino was like, hey, come to Florida. I want you to compete in this CrossFit competition. He's like, I don't have the use of my legs. And the guy was like, it's okay. Just come down. The competition isn't real.
He said, just do the pull-up part.
Just do the pull-up part.
That's what he told him. He came said, down. You can do the pull-up part.
And like, as Madison Cawthorn tells you, he's like, and then I came down and found out it wasn't even a real competition. He just wanted to get me down there to introduce me to my wife. And we've been together ever since. And it's true love. It's like, what? There was a like intelligence cutout that was involved with like getting you to a fake competition to meet your current wife. Like that, you are being set up, dude.
Also, like, if I was smarter, I'd be like, man, fuck y'all. You think you're just going to get me to go somewhere because you said CrossFit? You know what I mean? Like, you know, in that dossier they're building on him, they're like, I don't know. I think if we say go to Florida for a CrossFit thing, he'll be like, say less.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Like, that in that sense, I'm like, you don't fucking know me, okay? I don't fuck with whatever. Fine. So that comes out, and then I think one of the more recent things since the Russian invasion of Ukraine broke out, he's like, Zelensky's a thug, and everyone's like, what the fuck is this guy going on about?
Excuse me, sir?
So many people in North Carolina, I think, especially in those in his district, they see his priorities of being more about being in the spotlight than actually representing them in Congress. So I'm sure he felt very relieved when he had the opportunity to glad hand in the district and pose with a gigantic check for $200,000 for his constituents, for his district. Except this check comes from the bipartisan infrastructure bill that he voted against, but he's still trying to do a fucking victory lap. And luckily, some of the local press there isn't so enamored with him that they basically pressed him about his vote like as he was taking the picture. And I'm just gonna play that clip because it's fucking awkward in the best way.
Members of Congress had to do that, everything would be a lot better. There we go.
So he's sitting, he's got the check,
camo hat, camo jacket.
People are posing.
Nope.
So happy. He's got the congressional seal on
it. So, Congressman, did you vote for this appropriation or against it?
This particular appropriation, we advocated for in the appropriations package, but I think the larger bill we voted against.
Did you vote for it, though?
As I just said, I think the larger bill we voted against.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's
look here. As I said, I think the larger bill we voted against.
And then after that, he smiles and gives the thumbs up for the picture. So,
pretty great. Like, God, I wish, you know, this is the thing, like, that you hope that there was some kind of legislation that's like, if you pose with a big ass check and you fucking voted against it, there has to be like some big red X or some shit on it. So you can't fucking claim a victory on that one and be like, you know, it says this asshole did fuck all for this money. And in fact, he would rather watch you starve if he could. Something like that, just to communicate to the people how, you know, duplicitous some of our congressional members can be.
Also, Zeitgang, what is, you can't cash one of those big checks, right? That's just a prop. Is that?
Yeah, that's actually a prop.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind. Zeitgang.
Are you thinking of like?
I'm just trying to picture like
Happy Gilmore when he was throwing him in the trunk of his car after every golf tournament. I know that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
As a kid, I was like, damn, he's got a lot of big checks to cash.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're ceremonial.
I got it. Damn. It's just still a very funny thing to me, the idea of posing with a giant check. Like, especially like for a government, like do other politicians do that? Like pull out a massive check? It feels like something from the world of sweepstakes, like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like when you win something.
Yeah, like a you balloon win the lottery. Bouquet and yeah. That go together.
Oh my God, this is going to blow your fucking mind. It seems to be, you know what the origin of the oversized check is? This is after a cursory Google search, and I'm seeing it in a few places, so take this with a grain of salt. But they're saying the earliest archived photograph of an oversized check was taken in Berlin in 1938.
Hey.
The recipient is none other than old Joey Goebbels,
hey,
the Minister of Propaganda for the Third Reich.
I mean,
so awarded again 200,000 Deutschmarks for his service to the Nazi Party. Wow,
wow.
The parallels of standing with a 200K check.
You know, the right does love to say, hey, they had some good ideas, you know? So
hey,
that was one of them that they took.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about animal avatars on Zoom.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeitgang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back, and a story crossed your desk, Miles, that seems to have captivated your imagination. Zoom has added animal avatars.
Exactly. And, you know, I know this is not a video podcast, but just to show everybody in the show, I will be doing this segment as a panda with a hoodie on. Just waiting for that to kick in, and here we go.
All right.
So, Zoom has updated their settings that you can now basically have a full-on animal avatar that kind of tracks your face, kind of like the Memojis do, like on your iPhone, where like if I open my eyes big, my eyebrows go up, I can do one eyebrow, I can do the other eyebrow.
Whoa.
I go, wow, hey. You got all the facial expressions there, except for arm movements. That's the one thing they don't track. And I don't know, when I saw it, I was just kind of like, what the fuck is this for? Like at this point, but on the Zoom blog, they say this kind of avatar has helped really with pediatricians and telemedicine, because then like a kid's like, oh, I'm getting medical advice from a horse.
Great. I have nothing but disrespect for you right now. As a cute animal, I'm like, what the fuck is this cute animal trying to tell me about the state of the modern world? But
what med school did you go to? I went to Bovine University. And others have said, you know, like have pointed like, you know, maybe it's cool if you're not feeling like putting a bunch of energy into your appearance for a Zoom meeting, then you can just put on a rabbit face or something. I get the telemedicine part.
Yeah.
But this will help Zoom for work from home more fun part, I kind of have trouble with. Like,
I can't imagine working and then everyone in the work meeting is just a cartoon animal.
Yeah.
Right.
It's, I don't, it would maybe make people's like criticisms a little bit easier to take if they're like, hey, we got to talk about your job performance. And you're like, you're some kind of ferret. But yeah, go off, please. Like, let me know.
I would love to see someone get fired, but by like a panda.
Oh, right. Cowardly management who don't want to like look their staff in the eye when they have to deliver bad news. They're like, hey guys, I know there's been a lot of speculation about what's going to happen with health benefits. And unfortunately, as we look at our budgets going into the next fiscal year, we're going to have to pull back on some of the health benefits. Okay. Easier to take if it's a bunny.
I feel like if I was having a normal business meeting with like the people, you know, like HR, for instance, or like somebody who's firing me and they were doing this, I would feel like I was getting fired by the people from Year Next, that's the horror movie with like all the animal masks.
Right.
Like did you guys watch that Netflix show where like people were dating, but they were wearing, they had all the makeup of like animals and stuff.
Yes.
And the mask. This is like,
yes.
That.
Right. And then you had to just determine based on their beast face whether or not they were worthy of love, which is funny because that show, everyone was like traditionally attractive once they took off the beast face. And I was like, I'll be honest. I thought the show was like going to be like a full on dating show where like they would have to like smash in their animal costumes, but that wasn't the case. So a bit of a different show.
Just look like a birthday party or a birthday cake plate after a kid has like eaten a like aerial birthday cake after just like with ice cream, just smeared like green and blue. I don't know why I went into this visual, but that's what it made me think of, people smashing in those caked on makeup things.
I don't know if other people feel this way, but the way we use Zoom so much, there is like this like undercurrent of like tragedy, in the sense that I'm like, yeah, Zoom has helped obviously stay connected in this pandemic era, but it almost like reminds me that by using Zoom, like there's still, we're not quite at a place where we're like, oh yeah, let's all get back together. Well, obviously there's always going to inherently be risk involved, but like, it feels like I'm mourning a different time when I use Zoom all the time. And then these feel like weird consolation prizes mapped on top of it. So I'm having like, I don't know, like I got really deep when I was just thinking about like what this meant. And I was like, do we need this? Maybe we do. Or am I just being like, I want the old way back.
I feel like this will, like thus far, the only way I've encountered is you and like an inherently good-hearted person, and then the idea of a pediatrician doing it to like help a child. I feel like as long as it stays that, like, it's great, but I can just see the, yeah, I just can't get the like business meeting where this is being used to like deliver, you know, soften the blow of you know, people getting a pay cut, like, you know, John Deere board meeting, and it's like they all have like fun animal masks on while they're like, we got a scab on these workers. Our COO and CFO are gonna go and like work in the, you know, like I feel like that's just as likely use of it, and then it like becomes surreal and fucking dark, like Black Mirror. Right. So I don't know.
Irene, what do you think when you see it? Can you picture yourself ever using this aside from just trying to make people laugh? I see how funny it is because it shows you don't take anything seriously the second you go there.
I do think it's funny. I will say the other thing, I feel like it would be good in a bad way for like Zoom bombers, you know, where you show up as like a, you know, that kind of thing.
It's like they're still hacking out there.
Yeah.
Zoom bombers are still out there, still getting something out of it. I was just coming and being like, ah!
Or maybe it's like a way to like virtual organize. Like, you know, you show up at protests, you're like supposed to wear like all black and like have like a ski mask on, whatever, just so they can't identify you. But now you're just like different animals.
What happens when the bunny gang pulls up on Zoom?
Yeah, coordinate with the same Zoom Abby with like the whole crew. And then they're just like looking back at like just a sea of bunny faces.
Yeah, that'd be a funny prank. You invite someone to a Zoom call, everyone's a bunny, and then they're all like acting like this person's strange. Like, I think something's going on with your computer.
Right.
Oh.
That would have been funny.
Just like to fuck with someone. I feel like it'd be a perfect prank. Yeah, for like your older relatives. Just to be like, I feel like my mom would lose it.
Yeah.
Like, she would start yelling at me in Japanese and be like, what are you doing? Like, this is stupid. Like, put your face on. I feel like that's where this would head, total confusion. So, yeah, use it to prank, I guess.
Maybe. And by put your face on, you mean she demands that you wear full makeup when you're
up. Yeah.
Exactly. Put your face on. I want to see my pretty boy.
Exactly. And she said there better be SPF in that foundation. Don't play around with your skin health.
All right. I do want to talk about an upcoming movie or a movie project that is in development. So, you know, we got the story of the McDonald's founder. It was called The Founder, played by Michael Keaton. And he was just like basically a salesman with a hole in his soul who like just kept stuffing things down there and nothing would fill it up. He wasn't really the founder. He like bought the original McDonald's from like two guys who were just like, hey, we're the McDonald's brothers. We can make a good hamburger. He's like, I'm going to fucking eat you alive. And then like we tell that guy's story. So like on the continuum of like fast food chain founders stories that seem like they'd make for interesting movies, Colonel Sanders is like, you know, not the worst, I guess. I also, like, he was a lifelong fuck up as a businessman. Like, he just, like, his life was a lifetime of failure into his 60s. Just kept fucking up, kept, like, you know, losing all his money, opened a gas station, and nobody would come to his gas station because there was a better gas station down the street. So he started selling fried chicken at his gas station to give people a reason to come to his Shell station. And it caught on. It was just like a complete accident, complete luck.
Is that just, he was like, hey, they have chicken at that filling stand.
Yeah. All and, right. You know, if you tell it right, it could be a lesson in like how common, uncommon success is in America, how like failure shouldn't define you, how the thing that ends up succeeding is rarely part of the plan. But I don't have huge hopes because it's like an adaptation of a book by his daughter called The Colonel's Secret, 11 Herbs and a Spicy Daughter, written by his daughter, who is centering herself for some reason.
So not a whitewashing of who this Colonel Sanders really was?
Right.
Or it will be a whitewashing, rather.
So the two details that they really shouldn't leave out. The Takeout wrote this up and pointed out like two details that probably that they will downplay,
right,
one of them. And that is that he was a racist and misogynist. He donated to George Wallace's campaign, cheated on his wives, like made fun of women's appearances, like openly in public. So they're going to have to cover that shit somehow.
They're going to maybe be like show a part when he's younger and it seems like innocent. And they're like, yeah, he was kind of a kooky guy. You know?
Right.
And then just completely paper that over.
Now, this part, I'm assuming they will not be downplaying. He shot a guy, the aforementioned rival gas station, the owner of that, Colonel Sanders shot him.
Was there a reason why you shot him?
So Colonel Sanders was painting advertisements for his Shell station on the side of Barnes. The guy painted over that. Colonel Sanders went and confronted the guy, and the guy killed one of Colonel Sanders's like employees from the Shell station who had come with him. And so Colonel Sanders shot back.
So they had a full-blown shootout.
Is it his fault?
No, that like they're probably not going to play that one down. I'm just saying that's a pretty wild detail that like I'm sure most people don't know.
I mean, anybody who's done graffiti knows you cross someone's shit out. That's
you will
have to answer for that. Typically, then you'll like tag war over that shit if it's like between graffiti crews. But when you said painted over, like my old graffiti kid instincts went, oh shit, he painted over the shit. They're like, that's got some explaining to do.
That would be amazing if in the movie, like the original sign, like just looks exactly like a modern like graffiti artist, like the Shell station sign.
They're like, wow, look at that 3D detail. And he's like, I think that's a nonstop.
The screenplay that is being optioned is called A Finger Lickin' Good Story, The Life of Colonel Sanders, which sounds like it might as well be a piece of branded content. So that doesn't make me hopeful. Also, the screenwriter called it an incredible story of perseverance, sure, and faith. That could go either way. And probably not in a great direction.
Do you think the 11 herbs and spices is like a thing he's like praying? Like, right. There's got to be a Deus Ex Machina type moment, right? If faith is going to be part of this, where he's like, God, please, what do I do? And then like, someone's throwing a piece of chicken. I don't know. I just feel like there's going to be some really dumb scene where it's like, and that's where I got the idea for 11 herbs and spices because my Bible flew open to this page.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what, like it could really go in either direction, but my guess is not a great one because they're going to also have to get KFC's sign off, right?
That's true. But this, I feel like this reminds me of like that MJ documentary, you know, the Michael Jordan one where it's like really plays him up and I'm, you know, great basketball player and all that, but it's like, you know, he had some say too in what he was going to leave in and what he was going to leave out.
Right. Yeah.
Ooh, I wonder how much they'll leave in. I'm curious. They're like, he loved George Wallace and segregation forever.
And I guess it won't necessarily be authorized by KFC because like the founder certainly was not authorized by McDonald's, I'm guessing, right? Like they weren't like,
And if they do authorize it, then buckle your ass up for the biggest piece of fucking propaganda you've ever seen.
It'll probably just like stream on Tubi or something and won't come out, but I don't know. It could be cool.
All right. Well, we'll hold our breaths.
Yeah. So do hold your breath until this comes out and is good because I don't want to live in a world where it's not. Irene, such a pleasure having you as always.
Thank you for having me.
People find you and follow you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Irene_2. That's T-U. I'm also on TikTok now, but barely. It's Irene2 Comedy, or just go to my website, Irene2.com, for live tour dates and shows. And please grab my album.
It's
called We're Done Now. Wherever you get albums, you can check my website if you need help. Yeah. And come see
me. Yeah, and hit her with the French Laundry.
Oh, please hit me with the food reservations.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go to Nova
reservation.
You know,
yeah, hook it up.
Oh, also, tell people a little bit about the album. What's the vibe? What are you talking about? How's it? You know, what were you inspired by when you're making the album?
Yeah, so it's my first album, so it's kind of like a compilation of best of jokes from the last 10 years me doing comedy, and I feel like it's a good intro to kind of my point of view and how I see the world, but you know. Talk about being gay. Ooh, shocker. You couldn't tell from the audio. if you had the video, you'd be like, we knew. And then there's a joke that you mentioned where I talk about boring sex, and there's one about, you know, the apocalypse and stuff. So it's like, fun, but also dark.
Yeah. I love it. It's you're hitting all the notes in it. I think that's what's great about it.
And yeah.
If you will laugh, fucking laugh out loud. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, if you like Larry David, you'll really like it too, because I have been described as a Larry David. Or a little crotchety, you know? Love to complain.
Yeah. Especially the boring sex bit, I felt that come through.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need all this excitement.
Yeah,
prefer a hands behind the back situation was my favorite part.
Irene, is there a tweet or some work of social media you've been enjoying?
I mean, all my friends are stand-up comics, so they always have funny tweets. But I love Amy Silverberg has some very funny tweets. I mean, she tweeted one recently that said, the biggest act of love you can do for your parents is to let them tell you the same pointless story over and over.
Yeah.
And like, that made me laugh.
Oh, wow. Okay. Act surprised.
Yeah. And you're like, this... that's what happened. Heard the story 20 times, but I'm just gonna keep pretending that it's the first.
Yeah. Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. You already know about Mad Boosties with Jack coming up talking about the NBA, and then also 420 Day Fiance, the other pod with Sophia Alexandra, where we talk about 90 Day Fiance and Married at First Sight and all that trash reality that keeps us going. Some tweets I like. First one is at Fried Urethra. At Fried Urethra tweeted, dudes at house parties, this song was on Tony Hawk Pro Skater. another one is from Ellis at Ellis A. Tucci tweeted, the weed we have today would have killed a 1930s trumpet player, which, yes, facts, nail, absolutely. And then this one's actually interesting, and I bring it up because it feels like I'm curious to hear both of y'all's response to this. This is from Jamie Attenberg at Jamie Attenberg tweeted, okay, very serious question here. If you're a window person on an airplane, please explain to me why you like it. I am desperately an aisle person. I'm a window person.
Oh, why would you be an aisle person? That's a terrible seat.
Okay. Before you explain, I like to know. Okay, I like that. Jack, what about you? Are you an aisle or window?
I'm usually, doesn't really, like, usually like now middle. I'm in the middle. Yeah, because, well, it just middle. Like, it doesn't, like, I get on the plane because I'm always flying with like a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old, previously 3.
Those are his assistant. That's his assistant and manager.
Yeah, I like to get them ready for the world. So they're just working the whole time.
Right.
No, but it's a fucking nightmare. I'm about to fly again, and it's I dread it. Like,
is it a fight over the window? Do your kids fight over window?
Not usually. Usually they're just excited to be able to watch something on an iPad or something. But
right,
I guess when I had my druthers, I actually did prefer the aisle. Because you just easier access to get up, stroll around, stretch my legs out.
I have the bladder of like a statue. Like, I've flown to Japan without peeing on the flight before. And damn. I stay cocooned in my window seat because I will not be disturbed because nobody has to pass. No one has to transit my seat.
Well, there you go.
Irene?
Yeah, that's the part with the window. It's like, you can bother somebody else. Nobody's going to bother you. You're like, oh, I got to get up to pee. Then people have to get up. But nobody's asking you to move. Also, you can sleep. You can just lay your head on the window.
Yeah.
That's what
you
I
got
do.
A little lean.
Yeah, I got a little lean. You got more. You don't have to worry about, like, you know, falling asleep on somebody else. And like,
right.
And yeah, the windows most, better.
The thing that wakes me up is like when you're in an aisle seat and you're asleep and somebody tries to gently wake you up and just like puts that hand on you. Like, oh my God, what the fuck? You're like, okay, yep. You got to pee. Go. Oh, no problem. And then I have to stay awake when they go to the bathroom because I'm prepping for the return and I can't relax.
Yeah.
That's just me.
And you can adjust the shade if you want it open, if you want it closed. The window person's in charge.
Exactly. You're light crew.
Man. Leaving it open as the only person leaving it open is a real...
That's a move. That's psycho.
That sucks. Yeah. No, window is objectively better now that you guys describe it. I think the only thing... Like, but it is revealing because I would much rather be bothered than bother other people. That's what people said too. I had to get up to use the bathroom with my child... like conservatively 10 times in a like 3 hour span.
Right. So windows.
Yeah.
And like it would
have. Aisles where it's at.
Yeah. That sucked.
That might change, you know, and it's interesting to see that. Maybe that will change me having children at some point. Who knows? Or I might just be like, we learn to get bladder infections by holding in our pee because we will not inconvenience.
I've done that before where I'm like, I do have to pee and then I don't want to bother the person next to me. And then I just like, hold it in, and I'm like, what am I doing this for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting a UTI because I don't want to tap somebody in an Under Armour hoodie to get up really quick.
But sometimes they're also, like, asleep, like, just hunched over, like, the tray table, and then you'd have to, like, move them.
Right. That's also a vibe. Like, I can also see, like, fuck, I'm going to have to just, this person's, like, asleep like a rock. But typically, they're pretty good spirited. They know what comes with the territory.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Tweet I've been enjoying from Anna Dresden. Very funny writer, SNL reductress, cracked for like 3 months. She tweeted, my grandmother's spirit is always with me, watching over my shoulder as I dead-eyed open an incognito window to look up reviews of the conditioner I already bought.
Why you gotta go incognito with it?
I don't know. You know, that's...
I like
that. There's shame.
Yeah.
Although, maybe it's because she suspects Amazon is, like, tracking and therefore is only going to... But either way, it's just...
just the idea of, like...
the death of the human soul, but your grandparents are, like, over your shoulder, like, oh, Jesus. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
This is another track from the Rosalia album, Motomami. And this one is called La Combi Versace. And it's a great, this album, just fun to listen to. Becca, super producer Becca and I were talking, like, look, she's doing a little reggaeton. We get it, you're from Spain, you're kind of switching it up. But the production on this is really good, and so they're singing. So let's check this one out. It's a good, you know, good one. Start your week off with.
All right. Well, go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning, but we're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.